Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and this week I am talking with Jay Block. He is a Sandoval County Commissioner who would like to be your next governor of New Mexico. Jay, how you doing?
Hey, Derek. It's always good to be back here in my hometown of Rio Rancho.
You're taking a big step now for governor. Well, how come you're doing that?
Well, just look around at the state. Look how corrupt this governor is. Look what she has done to the state. We're last in education, number one in child poverty. We were just rated the worst state to live in. Hub categorized the state as the most restrictive state in the country for COVID, and yet we performed badly during the shutdown. We were 12th in the nation in per capita deaths. Tens of thousands of kids are hurting from not being in school. We're number one in suicides. I mean, I could go on and on and on. This is not what New Mexico is supposed to be.
So before we get into what you would do to fix this, for people that don't know you, give us some background on Jay Block.
So I grew up in a lower middle class neighborhood in Manchester, New Hampshire. I went to school in the upper Midwest, North Dakota State University, took out loans, did whatever I could to get through school, went through Air Force ROTC, went off into the Air Force for over 20 years, retired as a lieutenant colonel, basically in the nuclear business. I volunteered for a combat tour over in Afghanistan. I was a nuclear launch officer, one of the guys sitting on the ground waiting to launch Minuteman III ICBMs. So I had the nuclear codes for the country, which was pretty cool, to pull alert for the country and defend it. That was an honor. So I moved here from Germany. I was a senior American and commander twice on foreign soil in the Netherlands and the South Atlantic on a British island called Ascension Island, and did my penance at the Pentagon as a nuclear policy officer. But I retired here, serving my country here in New Mexico at Kirtland Air Force Base, and I wanted to continue to serve. I'm a nuclear weapons consultant in my private job. But I wanted to serve the community, so I ran for county commissioner up here in 2016, and I turned the county red. I beat a Democrat incumbent, and then we got to do a lot of great things, as you know, up here in Sandoval County to turn it around.
And let's talk about some of those things so our listeners have an idea, they want to vote for you, what you can get done.
Well, I'll make this quick because I know we're limited on time, but basically Intel was dying up here, if you remember. We lost about 2,000 jobs between 2013 and 2016. Once we took control of the commission, we set up an economic development fund for the first time in history. It's basically like a state lead-a fund, but at the county level. We went back and renegotiated the IRB with Intel. Now they've hired a few hundred jobs. We've incentivized them. That economic development fund also helped incentivize many small businesses here, and we created over 250 jobs in manufacturing technology industries. We also passed an ethics ordinance. I passed the Second Amendment Sanctuary County. We did right to work here, and that brought us a lot of great attention from the site selectors. And my particular district here in Southern Rio Rancho and all of Corrales, mine's the only commission district in the entire state, Derek, that was named the best place to live Rio Rancho and the safest place Corrales. And our county is the fastest growing county in the state. We have great schools, great infrastructure, great public safety. People are moving here. I want to use that model to move New Mexico forward from dead last. Everyone's laughing at New Mexico. It's just an embarrassment what the governor has done to the people in this state.
So you want to take the ideas you used to improve Sandoval County to the whole state of New Mexico?
Absolutely, and plus more. There's a lot more I want to do. There's so much low-hanging fruit out there that we could do in New Mexico to make this place better for many people, seniors. I will push very hard to eliminate Social Security taxes on seniors, state
tax.
Boy,
we tried to do that in the legislature over and over.
Well, there's a plan to do that. We're going to do it. I'm going to take our police officers and reduce their retirement eligibility from 25 to 20 years because our police officers wake up every day and they go into a combat environment. They have one of the toughest jobs in the country right now, and we're losing a lot of police officers, by the way, to retirement, and a lot of police officers aren't sticking around for 25 years, and you see crime spiking everywhere, and that needs to be fixed. So when those police officers retire at 20 years, and when firefighters and EMT and dispatchers retire after 25 years or longer, we're going to keep them here, and I'm going to push for a program to reduce their property taxes by 50%. And I want to do that because I want to keep our seniors here, our veterans here, our first responders here, and you can grow the economy because you're putting money back into their pocket instead of it being wasted in Santa Fe. It goes a little bit beyond what we're doing in Sandoval County. There's a lot more.
It's very interesting. I remember the comment about eliminating the Social Security tax in New Mexico. The argument was, well, if we do that, we don't have a way to make it up.
That's not true at all. Yeah. And here's why that's not true. So the seniors here in New Mexico, number one, a lot of them are very, very poor. And they're paying on average $600 a year in Social Security taxes. That's money that they can use, extra money for groceries, for gas, because, I mean, everything is going up. Inflation now is over 5%, thanks to this new administration, what they're doing. And who's suffering? It's the poor that are suffering. And we need to put that money, because they earn that their whole life. I want to give that back to them. The government doesn't need it. The individual people need it. here's the problem, Derek. You got all these politicians. They're just crooked and they're corrupt and they're working for the government. They're not working for the people. And what we're doing here is we're putting the people in chains when we should be putting the government in chains. The people should be the ones who are running the government instead of these special interests and these corrupt politicians who are going there year after year. And that's one of the reasons I also want to push term limits in the roundhouse. We need term limits badly. There are too many people up there, and I'll just say it on both sides. You got people like Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell. You've been in Washington, D.C. for 40 years or whatever. President Biden's been there for almost 50 years. Yeah. Enough's enough. Get out. Go back home. Let's get some fresh eyes in there and get some fresh ideas. And let's keep the special interests out of it. And let's get something done for the people of New Mexico and the people of our great country.
People can look you up as a commissioner on Sandoval County. I'm sure you have a website for
the campaign. Yeah, it's Block 4, F-O-R, New Mexico, block4newmexico.com.
How would your administration as governor have handled the pandemic?
Basically, what I would tell you is this governor was at mid-March of 2020. One day we found out, hey, the next day we're all shutting down across the state. And she decided who was non-essential and who was essential. She never coordinated with the counties and municipalities. She shut down 6 weeks after President Trump shut air travel down between Europe and China. I would have taken a more flexible approach to it. First of all, I wouldn't have shut the businesses down. Because what she did was, when she shut the entire state down, the entire state is, it's a huge state. It's so diverse with urban, rural, and tribal areas, right?
Mm-hmm.
When she did that, we had municipalities and counties, Derek, that didn't have any COVID positive cases for weeks or months. But those jobs were gone. And she decided who was going to be at work and who was not going to be at work, or who could go to church and who couldn't go to church. So I would have done it differently. I would have worked with the municipalities a lot more. I would have prepared for that, because that's what leaders do. They prepare. So after the president shut air travel down, you have to start thinking like, okay, how is this going to affect me? So let's start putting a plan in place and working with our partners. That's what I would have done. And I would have talked to the experts basically to decide, all right, how are we going to have the schools operate? Are we going to be able to keep businesses open? I say yes, because when you keep just big business open and you get rid of all the small business, that's not working for me, especially when we lost 40% of the small businesses. How are we going to do health care? Well, the governor kept abortion clinics open, but she kept other preventative, like cancer treatments, colonoscopies, mammograms. You couldn't do that. Totally wrong. Totally wrong. Plus the mental health appointments that you couldn't go to. Couldn't go to the dentist. So that probably didn't need to happen as well, because we're going to be paying for months and years down the road. People are going to end up dying because they didn't get checked. They didn't go to their proper health care appointments and get checked by their doctor. Schools. We now know shutting schools down was not the right thing to do, because the private schools remained open and they did just well. So the poor kids that have to go to the government schools were shut down. By the way, the special ed students, that was huge, because you had parents that had to either quit their jobs and stay home. I met one guy whose son is autistic, and he's like, I can't go to work. My kid's not going to be on a computer for 5-6 hours as an autistic boy. So there's so many different ways that we could have done it. And by the way, after that 2-week shutdown, we could have flexed. We could have flexed a lot. And I'll tell you what, I will not shut down your school, your business, or your church as governor. I'll work with you and I will listen to you, and I'll actually listen to the science instead of what we heard when there was an IPRA done. We heard the governor's listening to lawyers and not doctors and medical professionals, and that has killed the state. Why do you think now we're number one in suicides? We isolated people. This is a governor who took elderly people out of nursing homes, kicked them out, and put COVID people in the homes. Completely wrong. This is why our death rate was so high. One of the reasons, anyway.
We'll take a quick break and then come back and continue our conversation with Jay Block on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. I am talking with Jay Block, who would like to be the next governor of New Mexico. How about the crime rate in New Mexico? You touched on this a little in the last segment, but how could we bring our crime rate down?
you have to have accountability. You have to have laws that are enforced. You have to have judges actually enforce those laws. The crime rate is tied, in my opinion, to education and economic development. If you have a robust economy and you have an incredible education system, whether it's government or private or both or hybrid, I believe you're going to lower crime. But we have to keep these criminals in jail. I talked to a deputy here recently, and he arrested the same guy for like the fifth or sixth time. And this guy was getting more and more aggressive. So the criminals are coming to New Mexico because they know they can get away with quote-unquote murder. And then you see our murder rates here in the Albuquerque area just jumping high under this current mayor. Record numbers of murders last year. We're going to break another record this year. This is why businesses don't want to come here, because the crime is so bad. We have police officers, like I was talking about, who don't feel the political leaders have their back. So police officers are leaving the force in a huge number that we've never seen before across the country. Right. And what are we doing? We're coddling the criminals, but we're punishing the police. And that's just not the way it's supposed to be. We have to focus on protecting the people, not protecting the criminals.
So the police have qualified immunity?
No.
Why not?
You can sue them already. So there's no reason to have qualified immunity. I've seen police departments here in counties get sued without qualified immunity. We've gone through that in Sandoval County. Right. You know, it's interesting. I've talked to one police officer in Bosque Farms, and he said to me, and I didn't even think about this, he goes, you know, my wife and I are going to get divorced because of qualified immunity, because they can now come after him personally and his assets. So him and his wife are going to get divorced. That's what he told me. And he's putting everything in his wife's name, or soon to be his ex-wife, so he can stay on the force, because more and more police are leaving because of qualified immunity. That qualified immunity, the guy who sponsored that was Brian Egolf, the Speaker of the House, who, in my opinion, is one of the most unethical people that we have in this state, because he is an attorney for civil rights. So he's going to make a ton of money off of this law. This is where the politicians should be going to jail when they pass these laws that benefit them in their bank accounts. Give me a break. That's just unbelievable that this is a guy who pushes this legislation through as a speaker because he has control over it, and he's going to benefit from it. So he should have recused himself from it, but he never did. That shows you the type of character that the speaker, Brian Egolf, is. He's a complete coward and he's corrupt.
How about our New Mexico economy? Good, bad, and what would
you awful.
Do? So how will you fix it?
Yeah. So a couple things. You're going to see a plan come out from me and my campaign here. I'm working with State Rep Jason Harper, who wrote a brand new tax code back in like 2017, 2016, and it gained almost unanimous support in the House and died in the Senate. And it looked at a way of reforming GRT, because the GRT is like you're a small business owner. GRT affects small businesses much more than big business. And you see the GRT get stacked on each other in the service industry. It goes from here, 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 and here, and you're paying a huge tax at the end. That needs to be done away with. I think when you start reforming the tax code and doing some other things that we can do, incentivizing businesses to come here that will actually give us a positive return on investment, unlike the film industry where we're losing hundreds of millions of dollars, that's what we want here. And this is why Intel did a $20 billion investment next door in Arizona. You remember that? Mm-hmm. 15,000 jobs. That broke while we were in the special session talking about recreational cannabis. Give me a break. Here in Intel, the average compensation is between $120,000 and $130,000 a year. Those technology and manufacturing jobs is what I want to bring here. And I will work with industry to bring those jobs here. And I think we can do that by modifying the GRT and allowing small businesses to compete a lot more with big business. You know, big business loves regulation. They love regulation because it keeps the competition out. That's the other piece of this, is we're going to have a task force to go look at regulation, Derek, because when you compare New Mexico and Arizona, we almost have 2 to 3 times more regulations in New Mexico than Arizona. And which state is more prosperous?
It makes it hard to do business.
Exactly.
Yeah. Your thoughts on green energy for New Mexico?
Yeah. So prime example, we were talking about, for all you listeners there in Grants, remember this, when the governor basically said no, she would not support the oil and gas industry in Grants bringing very well-paying jobs of about 60,000.
You're talking about the oil refinery.
Yeah. The oil refinery there. Yeah. That's a lot of jobs. That's huge for Grants, and I would support that. But I'll tell you what I will not support. I will not support any subsidies to the oil and gas industry, and I'll not support any subsidies to renewable energy. And the reason why is the marketplace should dictate energy policy. This state right here, it relies on oil and gas a lot. We have 134,000 jobs in oil and gas. And the other part is, last year during the campaign, Biden and Harris kept talking about banning fracking. And our governor didn't say one word about that, Derek, throughout the campaign. And then when the new president signed that executive order banning fracking on federal land, the governor said she was shocked. But she completely lied to everybody. And the reason she was silent was because she was looking to get out of New Mexico as soon as she could from the mess that she created so she could go to D.C. and be a cabinet secretary. Well, the one thing that Biden saw was this governor's a disaster, and he didn't want any part of her on his team. So that's going to change when I'm in office. I will always back up New Mexico and New Mexicans first over Washington, D.C.
Texas and Arizona both have sent the National Guard to their southern borders. What should New Mexico do?
We need to do the same. I've talked about this for months now as a candidate. Once I am in office, I will deploy the National Guard back down to the southern border. They were there in 2018, 2019. I've been down to the southern border. I've been down south talking to ranchers and farmers and sheriffs. And we have a huge problem here in New Mexico. We have a lot of drugs coming through here, a lot of sex trafficking coming through here. New Mexico will not be a sanctuary state. We're going to cooperate with the feds to make sure that the people who are here legally. And we are going to do everything we can to fight crime and drugs and keep it out. And if we can do that and save lives and keep drugs up by using the National Guard, we're going to do it. I'm a retired military guy. I'm familiar with how our Guard operates and the capabilities that they bring, and they are phenomenal. Think about this. It's the New Mexico National Guard protecting New Mexico and protecting New Mexicans. Why would you be against that? So get ready. You're going to be deploying real soon after I am governor. By the way, the Border Patrol wants that. I've talked to the Border Patrol. There's a lot of positions that the Border Patrol says the Guard can do so they can actually go on the border and apprehend these people coming across, because we have dozens of miles of undefended border here in New Mexico.
The feds are sending us $1.75 billion for us to use here in New Mexico.
Yep.
And the current governor says that it's up to her to distribute that. Under our state constitution, it says the legislature should do that.
It's basic civics, which obviously she doesn't understand. And I'd be more than happy to give her like a pop-up book or something that explains that.
I'm sure she'd appreciate that. Yeah.
Here's the deal with that. Even Senator Jacob Candelaria, very, very leftist guy, and he is even agreeing with us that, hey, that's where appropriations start, in the House.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it starts. The House has to, by the Constitution, that's where the money should be going through, and the House will work with the Senate, get a bill together, go in a conference committee, get a bill together, send it to the governor, and you go from there. But for the governor picking and choosing $1.75 billion, all she's going to use that money for is so she can get reelected and just, again, pick winners and losers, because this is a very vindictive governor. And if you've gone against her, like some businesses have, she's going to go after you. Or if some counties have stood up to her, she's going to
be the mayor of Grants.
Or the mayor of Grants, other mayors as well, other sheriffs, she's going to go after you. So in my mind, that would probably be an impeachable offense by violating the Constitution and her oath that she took as governor by not letting the House start that. Because if she's not going to follow that, then why even pass a budget? Why do we even have to pass a budget? Just let the governor say, all right, we got $5 billion this year in the budget. I'm going to tell you where it's going. It's almost like the representatives and the senators should just pack up their desks and just go home, because the governor is going to be making all the decisions.
In case you just tuned in, I'm talking with Jay Block. He would like to be your next governor of New Mexico, currently a Sandoval County commissioner. Have you ever been convicted of a felony?
A felony?
Yeah.
No, never accused, never convicted. I have no bankruptcies. I've had a top secret clearance since 1995. I was under a very rigid program called the Personal Reliability Program, being a nuclear weapons guy. No, no DUIs, no bankruptcies, no financial issues, no collection agencies or nothing like that.
That was Sandoval County Commissioner Jay Block, who would like to be our next governor of New Mexico. Coming up in our next segment, I'll be looking at some issues that President Trump talked about and the press said he was wrong. Now that he's out of office, we're finding out he was right. And I have the news stories to back it up on Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Last month, former President Trump came out with a press release that said he was right about many things. One of them is that we would have a vaccine by the end of 2020. Here is what the press had to say when Donald Trump made that statement back in May of 2020.
An ambitious timeline, and many health experts aren't so sure it's achievable.
So many experts and doctors today immediately cast doubt on that.
Experts say he'd be in need a miracle to be right. It would take, over a year.
Experts are warning that kind of timeline may be overly ambitious.
Health experts pushing back.
So many experts.
Well, NBC News did a fact check on this today, that a coronavirus vaccine, Trump says it could come out this year, this sort of, happy talk that he's doing about a vaccine.
You cannot talk yourself into a vaccine. The fastest a vaccine has ever been produced
used from start to finish is 5 years.
Previous vaccines have taken years to develop.
History actually holds a lot of different lessons for us about politicians rushing to science when it comes to vaccines.
Will we get the best vaccine in this timetable, or will we just get a vaccine?
This kind of promise is clearly political, but it's also remarkably dangerous.
Some have even argued it's perhaps dangerous.
So if we say, well, they can't really get this vaccine, the science is questionable. Now we're the negative Nancys. Oh, look at that Acosta, always trying to kill our optimism.
Now we fast forward to May of 2021. It's the same vaccine, just a different president.
Today, 90% of Americans now live within 5 miles of a vaccination site. Everyone over the age of 16, everyone is now eligible to get vaccinated right now, right away. Go get vaccinated, America. Go and get the vaccination. They're available.
Here's what Kamala Harris said during the vice presidential debate about getting the vaccine.
The Trump administration approves a vaccine before or after the election. Should Americans take it, and would you take it?
If the public health professionals, if Dr. Fauci, if the doctors tell us that we should take it, I'll be the first in line to take it. Absolutely. But if Donald Trump tells us that we should take it, I'm not taking it.
Now we fast forward to Kamala Harris after the election.
I have now been vaccinated. As Joe likes to say, there's a big difference between the vaccine and vaccinations. I want to encourage everyone to get the vaccine. It is relatively painless. It happens really quickly. It is safe.
It is also the same vaccination they were giving to people during the Trump administration. Donald Trump said the coronavirus came from Wuhan, China. Here's what Representative Judy Chu, Democrat from California, had to say about that in March of 2020.
We are extremely concerned about the president's hurtful rhetoric on naming the coronavirus the Chinese virus. He clearly is doubling down, and I think it's a deliberate attempt to change the focus so that it's not on his failings, because we clearly have a crisis with regard to testing in this country. It also is, of course, incorrect, because now this is a global pandemic. It is in so many countries of the world, and we need to recognize it as such.
Now we fast forward to June 14th, 2021. This is a clip from an ABC News report on Good Morning America.
More than a year ago, top scientists published a letter in the prestigious medical journal Lancet that dismissed the lab leak theory. They called it a conspiracy theory. So ABC News reached out to all 27 scientists who signed that letter. About a dozen responded, several of them telling us they're not so sure this thing came from nature. And one scientist telling us he's flipped entirely, and he believes that now the lab leak theory is more likely.
Comedian Jon Stewart was a guest on NBC's Late Show with Stephen Colbert. Here's what he had to say about the origins of the coronavirus.
And I honestly mean this. I think we owe a great debt of gratitude to science. Science has, in many ways, helped ease the suffering of this pandemic, which was more than likely caused by science. And that's kind of...
Hold on a second.
No. Listen.
I wouldn't do that to you.
What do you mean
by that? Do you mean like there's a chance that this was created in a lab, there's an investigation?
A chance?
Well, if there's evidence, I'd love to hear it.
There's a novel respiratory coronavirus overtaking Wuhan, China. What do we do? Oh, you know who we could ask? The Wuhan Novel Respiratory Coronavirus Lab. The disease is the same name as the lab. That's just a little too weird, don't you think? And then they ask the scientists, they're like, how did this... So wait a minute, you work at the Wuhan Respiratory Coronavirus Lab. How did this happen? And they're like, a pangolin kissed a turtle. And you're like, no, if you look at the name, let me see your business card. Show me your business card. Oh, I work at the coronavirus lab in Wuhan. Oh, because there's a coronavirus loose in Wuhan. How did that happen? Maybe a bat flew into the cloaca of a turkey and
Then it sneezed into my chili, and now we all have coronavirus. Like, come on.
Wait a second.
All right.
John.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. There's been an outbreak of chocolatey goodness near Hershey, Pennsylvania. What do you think happened? Like, oh, I don't know. Maybe a steam shovel mated with a cocoa bean. Or it's the chocolate factory. Maybe that's it.
That could be. That could be.
By the way, I gave them all tuberculosis.
Yes. That could very well be, and Anthony Fauci and Francis Collins at NIH have said, like, it should definitely be investigated.
Don't stop with the logic and people and things. The name of the disease.
Wait a second.
The building.
Wait a second. But it could be possible. You could be right. It could be possible that they have the lab in Wuhan to study the novel coronavirus diseases because in Wuhan, there are a lot of novel coronavirus diseases because of the bat population there.
I understand.
It's like the same.
It's
like,
a
wait
local
a second.
Specialty, and it's the only place to find bats. You won't find bats anywhere
else. Saying,
oh,
why?
Wait. Austin, Texas has thousands of them that fly out of a cave every night. Every night at dusk. Is there a coronavirus in Austin coronavirus? No, it doesn't seem to be an Austin coronavirus. The only coronavirus we have is in Wuhan.
Yes.
Where they have a lab called, what's the lab called again, Stephen?
The Wuhan Novel Coronavirus Lab.
Who would have thought you'd ever see the day when Jon Stewart and Donald Trump would agree about something? If you would like to see more conservative values come to New Mexico, get involved with the Republican Party of New Mexico. You can check out the website at www.gopnm.org. The party has a Facebook page and a Twitter account. The handle is @NewMexicoGOP. If you would like to talk to somebody in person, call Republican Party headquarters at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. I'm Derek Underhill, and I look forward to meeting with you again next week, right here on Inside New Mexico.